Well, out in the Washington Times a little over a week ago on Monday, November the 11th, writer Nathan Fanot wrote an incredible piece about what can only be described as a preventable tragedy out of Frostburg State, and it pertained to their football team here in Western Maryland. And Nathan joins us now to talk about this developing story where, even to your piece, Nathan, there have been repercussions, to say the least. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
And let's start, I guess, with the basic background of the story. I guess 26 months ago, Ken and Kristen Sheely got the call every parent just dreads.
Yeah, they were driving home from State College, Pennsylvania, just dropped their daughter off at Penn State for her freshman year, and got a call that their son Derek, who was a fullback at Frostburg State, had collapsed during practice. And unfortunately, 6 days later, he died at a hospital in Baltimore.
It's just as simple as that. But when you look at, you know, the culture of football, the way in which, you know, you play a violent game, but recently, as in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, there's been so much as far as educating the trainers, the players themselves, the people in general, as far as, you know, the effects of a concussion. What went wrong here?
Yeah, and you know, the family at first thought, okay, you know, this is a tragedy, this is just a tragic accident, and they believed that for a period of time until they got this anonymous email about 6 months after their son died that said alleged negligence on the part of coaches and this series of events where their son essentially was put back onto the field after these signs that something was wrong, and eventually called names. We can't repeat them on a family radio show.
But you do print them. You do print them.
We do print them. And right, you know, before he was collapsed, an assistant coach was alleged to call him a couple of these names, and didn't matter that the kid had a headache, was bleeding from his head, sent him back out there, and then he collapsed and never regained consciousness.
Q makes a great point here, Nathan. This is not a story from the 1950s or the 70s or the 80s or even the 90s. This is a couple of years ago in this state of Maryland, and someone's bleeding from his head on a Division III football team, and they're calling him names for not going back out there and essentially forcing him to go back out there. That's incredible. I want to talk about the negligence of this coaching staff in a moment, but what is this email that the parents received after their son's death?
Well, they got this email arrived, sent anonymously, but from all purposes, intents and purposes, appeared to be from a teammate of their son's who had directly witnessed the events. He knew details that, if you weren't there, you wouldn't know. And he just went through this series of events that was not a tragic accident. It was over a course of 3 days, their son had been bleeding from his head on 4 different occasions, and each time he was bandaged up and put back out there. And it was alleged that he was never evaluated for a concussion. He was sent, and part of this is this drill that they do there that's similar to an Oklahoma drill, but actually a little more intense.
I'm about to say a way more intense than Oklahoma drill, and it seems like it's just one way.
Yeah, and for those who aren't familiar with this kind of thing, basically it's two fullbacks are put on the field. One has to pretend to be a linebacker and stand up straight, not moving, and defenseless. That never happens in a game. That's not real life. The second fullback has to run into him and hit him as hard as he can. That doesn't relate to anything that's going to happen on a football field, but these guys would do that day after day in practice. And guys were concussed doing this. It became known as the concussion factory, the lawsuit and this alleged.
When you look at even the drill, it's one thing. When you're talking about, you know, a trainer who, I mean, I know this is Division III, but my God, I'm a local high school track coach, and I have to go through concussion certification to understand the symptoms and the signs and all that and be aware of it. I also coach my son's rec league football team, and I'm very much aware of, you know, concussions and so forth. How the heck in the world did the trainer not see? I mean, we're talking clear blood coming out of the dude's forehead. What the heck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, that's a great question. That's one of the things that this so baffled the family, and I think has really contributed to their anger and their bafflement over this entire situation. In this day and age, with all we know about concussions down to the youth level, how could something like this happen at a you know, a Division III school. It really is a perplexing situation and tragic, too.
Washington Times writer and reporter Nathan Finneau joining us here on Sportsline on WBAL. He has an article out going back to November 11th. Frostburg State football player pressured back on the field after blows to the head, and he dies. And the story that follows, which is still developing now 26 months later. And I want everyone to know the name of the head coach, Tom Rogish. What do we know about Tom? I know you said after this article came out just a few days ago, he has since retired. So he was in place still as head coach of Frostburg State football, even in the aftermath of this young man's death, Derek Shealy. What do we know about his history? How long has he been a coach? How long has he been around Frostburg State?
He's been a coach for 35 years in small schools, and he had been at Frostburg State for the last six seasons, and they hadn't had too much success on the field, and so he retired this past Tuesday.
Just randomly retired this past Tuesday. Have there been any other students in the past, players that have come forward and said, this happened to me, I was very sick, very ill? Has anything like that sprouted up over the last few weeks?
You know, there have been people I've talked to, yes, and that who've had stories. Obviously, nothing this severe. But in the story, there are a few former players who I quote as saying, you know, we expected something like this to happen.
Wow.
Maybe not somebody to die, but the atmosphere was not promoting safety first. It was focused on other things, which is really a startling thing for guys to say, again, in this day and age with all we know and all the research and stuff that's clicked away on the internet, if you want it.
And so what do we know that from a positive has come out of this? I mean, have they learned their lesson? I mean, Frostburg State, are they going to suspend the program, or have they changed their regulations as far as how they, you know, have football, you know, requirements as far as, you know, the way they do their practices? Give us an update on that.
You know, the guys I've talked to said that literally within a week of his death, things changed dramatically in terms of how the practices were conducted. The amount of hitting declined. This drill we spoke about earlier, the fellows playing, the linebackers were given a pad. So instead of just taking a shot without protecting yourself, you actually had a legitimate pad, and that problem was removed. Concussions apparently were taken very seriously, that kind of thing. What's an odd sidelight to all of this, though, is that you would expect when an athlete dies, the NCAA would be interested in investigating, and the school would be following suit. So far as our reporting could tell, the school never investigated, and the NCAA never investigated what happened, which is certainly a strange outcome for such a perplexing occurrence.
And you're also talking in this article about the school, and I guess the coaches, after Derek dies, gives a video of that day's practice, but there's missing video, oddly, in that practice?
I would say saying that there's missing video is a little further than I'm willing to go at this point, but I got the practice tape from that day when Derek passed, and it was edited down to 14 minutes. We all know that football practices run a little longer than 14 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't include any clips of Derek or any of the drill in question and his collapse. The university said that's just how the practices were filmed in terms of the editing and whatnot, and that's all the tape that exists. It's certainly an interesting coincidence.
I don't know. I guess I'm looking at this, and as a former player, as kids who play, I feel you know, empty inside. Wow. How did, I guess, just from a football standpoint, you know, did the team win from that point forward? I mean, how's their record been? How's the mindset of the other players been?
They had not had a lot of success on the field, actually. And last week, their final game before the coach retired, they lost 70-14, I believe the score was. So.
Whoa.
It's not a program that's had a lot of recent success. I know guys who were there when Derek passed away. It shook them, and it really shook how they viewed playing the game and whatnot. But they had a choice. Either they could quit, or they could deal with, you know, put aside their concerns, their fears, their sadness, and keep competing to get some playing time. And a lot of those guys made that choice.
Nathan, where are we in this lawsuit and the parents – Ken and Kristen are not just suing the head coach, but also the running backs coach. I want you to talk about him also, but the trainer, not the institution itself, but the NCAA. I do want to ask also why the NCAA, but where are we in this process? When will we know there'll be an outcome? And just from what you can gauge, are they? Are you thinking settlement here? Where are we in this?
You know, we're too early to, you know, speculate on that. The lawsuit was filed in August on the 2-year anniversary of Derek's passing, and it's still in the early stages. The attorneys for the three Frostburg State defendants filed their response last week to it, and the discovery process as well is just starting to kick into gear, where the plaintiffs will start to request a lot of documents and things of that nature from Frostburg. So we're still early on. It'll be very interesting to see what's uncovered during discovery, though.
Amazing. Well, it's tragic. We know that much. And do you have any, I mean, the way you paint him, you're being fair here. What is your sense of the accused in this case, in this suit? Tom Rogish, the head coach, running back coach Jamie Schumacher, who seems to be a culprit all by himself, and then the trainer. What's your sense of these three gentlemen?
You know, that's a tough thing to say. And, you know, people who've played for him, like any coach, I mean, there's a lot of different opinions kind of that run the gamut on those guys. The guys seem to really particularly like the trainer and had good things to say about him. At the end of the day, I don't think any football coach or trainer – you know, want something like this to happen. You know, that's
sure.
Obviously, you know, not something anybody is interested in happening. And I can only imagine the responsibility, even the best circumstances, when a player under your care passes away. That would be a horrible, horrible thing to deal with. At the end of the day, it's just a sad situation, no matter what, how you look at it, what you look at it from. It's just sad. And hopefully something positive comes from it, but it's tough to see what that would be.
Shoot, I know right now one of the positives that'll be coming from me is the fact that I'll be even more diligent when young men, you know, play this game, and you know, if they have some sort of headache, not to sit back and think, just tough it out. You know, that's just as serious as you'd be sitting there, you know, and you're dealing with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, and a lot of players I talked to who played with Derek at Frostburg have talked about a culture that you know, and even with a guy like Derek, who was a tough guy, he didn't want to ask out. He didn't want to be that guy in a culture that really valued that. And there's a lot of talk of culture change these days in a lot of different areas of our world, but it is a wake-up call where you can't, you know, suck it up and you know, play through a headache or something like that. You know, these are these things can become very, very tragic and things you can't take back.
Well, Nathan, we really do appreciate you joining us tonight. Terrific piece, and I hope you do a few follow-ups on this one as the story develops.
Certainly. It's not a piece we're going to stop reporting anytime soon. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Nathan Fenno from the Washington Times, on this intriguing piece and a very sad one about a deceased former football player from Maryland and went to school at Frostburg State here in Maryland, Derek Shealy. We'll come back with much more here on Sportsline.